down what version this was from. I'm very sorry, but so I don't know which version this is from today. It's called Salt and Light and Jesus and the Law. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. Don't even begin to think that I have come to do away with the law and the prophets. I haven't come to do away with them, but to fulfill them. I say to you very seriously that as long as heaven and earth exist, neither the smallest letter nor even the smallest stroke of a pen will be erased from the law until everything there becomes a reality. Therefore, whoever ignores one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called the lowest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps these commands and teaches people to keep them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I say to you that unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the legal experts and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, Keith is going to cue up a video sermon, so I'm going to have him turn off, well, he's, never mind, he'll do it anyways. And let's listen to Reverend Norm Selly.
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. So, let's start off with some truth, honesty. I was having trouble writing a sermon. Happens from time to time. I was having troubles writing this sermon, actually. So I just needed to get away. And I have a friend with a cabin in the woods with Wi-Fi, which is awesome. You can get away, but no, you have to leave everything behind. And it's just a good place to be alone and to think, to vision, to create artistic devices for a sermon. It was damp more than cold, but fire took care of my immediate needs. Not a problem. I had a lovely fire going. I brought some food, a guitar, my laptop. Pretty much all that I needed for a couple of days away. A couple of days to get an elusive sermon, I don't know, caught, shaped, done. This elusive sermon. So I sat down at the table in the middle of the cabin, a table that's, well, you know, meant for eating and card playing, ideal for arm wrestling, or the perfect host for a jigsaw puzzle. Today it was the table that would offer me support as I got this sermon done. It was done, but it wasn't done. There was something missing. It was factually strong, had some really good science. It was gospel-focused, like it should be, and it had all the right things. Like, it really, really was good. If someone had given it to me to read, I would have thought, yeah, no, that's pretty good. But it wasn't pretty good. And 3 hours later, it still wasn't pretty good. And then I thought I heard something. So I got up and I, I went to the window. And I noticed that my car was running. That seemed odd. I must have hit the remote start or something. I don't know. Fortunately, I have an app on my phone that can turn my car on and off. And so I just pulled it up and, you know, don't have to go into the cold. I just pulled it up and I turned my car off. Except it didn't go off. Stupid app. So, not wanting to continue abusing the environment by letting my car idle, I grabbed my hoodie. I ambled out the door with my keys in hand. My car was in no distress. Hadn't been hit by anything. There was no open door. It was just running, which is really weird. And I clicked the button and I unlocked the doors. I opened my door to get in, and there he was, sitting in the passenger seat. Jesus. I knew it was Jesus, but because you just know that it's Jesus, right? His eyes, I guess. The way you feel, you know, when you see him, and the robes. Yeah, he was wearing robes, you know, which sort of did make him distinct. Although he had swapped his sandals for some Timberline boots, which I thought was smart. Hi, Norm. This is a nice car. I really like the heated seats. What does one say in that moment? Thanks? What are you doing here? Hi, I was just writing about you. I didn't say anything. I just sort of looked dumbstruck, gobsmacked, stunned. Get in. Heated seats only do so much, letting all the heat out. I got in, closed the door, put on my seatbelt. I'm not sure why I put on my seatbelt. I had a feeling that maybe I was about to be shaken up. Let's go for a ride. What? Let's go for a drive. I want to see how comfortable the car is. You're thinking of buying a car, Jesus? He just looked at me. You know who I am, right? Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, Lamb of God, our Redeemer, begotten, not made, Son of Man, he interrupted. Right, so I don't need a car. Just thought it'd be fun to go for a drive. I brought snacks. I stared. I said nothing. He held up a bag of dates. I said more, nothing. And Timbits. I pulled out and down the lane. Which way? I asked. Looking forward to being able, you know, to brag with some certainty that I follow Jesus. Turn right. Let's go to town. So I did as he requested. He opened the bag and he offered it to me, and I reached in and around the dates, and I grabbed a Timbit, a little cooler one, my favorite. Thank you, Jesus. So, Norm, it's about your sermon. My sermon? It's not very good. Oh, man. It's not every day that the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, you know, knocks your sermon. Jesus loves me, not so much. It's the whole salt thing, Norm. But Jesus, and I knew that I had to tread very carefully here. Jesus, you kind of messed it up. I did? Well, you know, it's just that, you know, when you say you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how could its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot, you know, that part. Well, I didn't actually say that. What? You mean the Bible's all made up? Norm, what I said, well, I said those words, but I said it in Aramaic. Has a more melodic flow in its original language, all right? I mean, the English is pretty good, but, sounds great in Italian. Yeah, okay, fine. But see, the point is, Jesus, is that salt, salt's always salt. Right? It can't lose its saltiness. It doesn't fade. It doesn't grow stale. It's kind of basic kitchen chemistry nowadays. And I guess you just didn't know that back then. Oh, said Jesus thoughtfully. No, I thought for sure you were going to tell me that salts are ionic compounds that result from the neutralization reaction of an acid and a base, right? Composed of cations and anions, and that the product is electrically neutral. I thought you'd mention that. I thought maybe you'd want to distinguish between, I don't know, inorganic like chloride and organic like fluoride, you know, or even talk about sulfates, you know. But no, kitchen chemistry is good too, Norm. I must have looked stunned. Yet, Norm, I know my chemistry. See, I think I was after a little more, you know. You literalists drive me crazy. Hey, whoa, I'm not a literalist. Wait a minute. Didn't you just insist on giving me a chemistry lesson? Pretty literal, if you ask me. You see, Norm, I want you to think about salt. I want you to think about how it preserves things, how it adds flavor, how in some cultures, including the Roman Empire, salt was used as currency. I want you to understand how valuable and ubiquitous it is. I want you to think about how salt not only flavors by itself, but seems to bring out the flavors in others. What? It brings out the flavors in others just by being there. It seemed odd thing to say. And then Jesus produced a thermos and he opened it. Oh, I could smell the hot chocolate. Pull over, he said. Okay, I did. And then he poured some hot chocolate into the cup and he handed it to me. Taste. I did. Good? It was. And then he reached into his robes and he produced a salt shaker. Here, give me your hot chocolate. What are you going to do? I'm going to put a little salt in it. No, but you'll ruin it. Trust me. No, Jesus, nobody likes to drink salt. I mean, you're going to wreck this really, really nice hot chocolate. Seriously, Norm, you trust me with your salvation, but not your hot chocolate. I gave him the cup. He added a small shake, a pinch of salt. Handed the cup back to me. Take. I did. Better? It was. It was so much better. It was more chocolatey. Told you. He put the thermos and the salt shaker down in my cup holders. You see, Norm, when I said those words about salt, I was talking to my disciples, my followers, and I was reminding them of the role of salt in covenant. Covenant of salt? Seriously, Norm, when were you ordained? Didn't you study covenants? Oh, man. You United Church people, you get a lot right, but your Old Testament is not so good. In Exodus, salt is part of the incense that was used in the tent when Moses came to meet Dad. His dad? No. My dad, you know, our Heavenly Father and Mother, actually, let's overcome a little weakness in language there. The I am that I am, you got that? Oh, right. In Leviticus, it's the salt of the covenant that should be part of all offerings. Again, in Numbers, salt is part of all the offerings. In Chronicles, the kingdom was given to David by a covenant of salt, okay? Salt is a sign of a covenant between God and humanity. A promise by God to be present with the people, to bring justice and life, to protect the weak and the oppressed. And as my followers, you are expected to be signs of the covenant, to be salt. Oh, so more than flavoring. A lot more than flavoring. So, thinking about my sermon, when you said we had to be more righteous than the Pharisees, did you mean we had to be more chocolatey? More aware of the covenants? Is that why my sermon needs help? I missed the part about chocolate Pharisees? Actually, what I meant about being more righteous than the Pharisees is that I was and continue to be tired of empty ritual. People going through the motions without any real meaning. Isaiah said it beautifully. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day, and you oppress all your workers. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your home, when you see the naked to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. I must have looked a complete blank. What? You didn't think I could quote scripture, Norm? You see, Isaiah got it right. Real worship is the kind of worship that is lived out in the real world, not hidden behind closed doors. So you don't like the way I worship? Oh, man. No, Norm. It's good. Hey, some of the hymns, I don't know. But I love, you know, when the choir sings. I love when kids do stuff. No, I'm talking about real worship, real salt, real signs of God's presence. Let's talk about your sermon. Besides relying too much on literal kitchen chemistry, what's the problem, Norm? Seriously. You're usually done by Thursday. Why aren't you done your sermon yet? How come you have to go to a cabin and get away? What's going on? Oh, it's just the world these days. I don't know. Everybody, everything is divisive and negative. It just seems so, I don't know, hopeless. We're all at each other's throats. I went to a fundraiser just the other night, a fundraiser to help combat sex trafficking, and I haven't been able to sleep since the presentation that night. I see racism deeply embedded in the people that I love, even a little bit deeply embedded in me. I can tell that climate change is upon us, but we're not doing enough. I know that. And then in all of that, I don't know what to say. We're trying to come out of COVID. We're trying to figure out how to be together, and I don't have an answer. I don't know how to be clever. I can't fix it and make it better. And that's what preaching is to you, Norm. Fixing things. Being clever. Making it better. I don't know. Maybe. Norm, speaking in terms of simple kitchen chemistry, I just want you to be salt, not the whole stew. You know, like the folks who created a fundraising dinner and the people who spoke turned your heart, like that. I mean, even if it meant you can't finish your sermon, I'm really glad for their salt. And that's what they did. They put together a dinner and they were salt. They shared some truth and they were salt. They didn't fix everything. They're not the whole stew. In fact, they invited you to come in and be part of the stew. That's salt. We were quiet for a time. And I noticed that we were sitting in a school parking lot. Not sure how we got there, but there we were. And other cars were pulling in. People were getting out and they were gathering by the front of the school. Norm, let's get out and join them. Who are they? A young man in this town didn't know what to do with his hurt and his grief over things in the world either. So he made some calls, and he went on Facebook, and he invited people to gather at the school and then walk together to the town hall as an act of love to the Muslim community. Because lately they've been targets of threats and violence, and he wanted to just make a difference. Oh, wow. Well, good for him. That's amazing. Great. How many Muslims live around this town? Eight. Eight? That's all? No, he should be doing this in a big city, okay? I mean, I should talk to him. Introduce me, Jesus, please, because we could get lots of people to join in the city. I now work here to deal on candles. We could have speakers. We could have a whole rally. We could probably get on the news. We could really get the message out. Norm, that's great. But this is good, too. This is salt, Norm. I want you to be salt, not the whole stew. Just join the little group, okay? Let's go for a walk. It might not make the news, but it's going to make eight good people feel better tonight. I got out of the car. Pretty soon, there were 50 of us, young and old, all sorts of folks, and the numbers kept growing. I saw two women in the brightest dresses that I'd ever seen. Jesus saw me looking. Do you know what those dresses are? I think they're jingle dresses, right? You're right. Why are they wearing them here? Why not? Well, I'm used to seeing them at powwows, in pictures, you know, not on walks to support threatened Muslims in a small town. But Norm, the dresses are all about dancing into health and wholeness, about community caring about those who are weak and hurting. It's about ancestors and vision and hope. Those dresses are signs of resilience and endurance and being yourself in joy, even when the world says you shouldn't be joyful or even be yourself. Those dresses, Norm, are salty. And so are the women who are wearing them. Salt. Signs of God's presence. As we walked, I met people, all sorts of people. There were Christians and Muslims and Jews and Sikhs and Buddhists in such a small town, and atheists, and none of your business, thank you very much, people. And I lost track of Jesus somewhere in all of that. I couldn't see the robes anymore. I couldn't find the face, no matter where I looked, except that I had this feeling of seeing his face everywhere that I looked. And all the folks walking to the town hall. And the simple walk, this beautiful effort, God's promise and love was evident. We faced our fears, we showed our love, all of us together. We shared God's love. I got it. We were salt. Huh. When we were done, I walked back to my car, opened my door carefully, hopefully wanting to see Jesus in the front seat. But he wasn't there. But the thermos was. And I opened it. Hot chocolate was still hot. Salt shaker was right there. I didn't think twice. I just took some of that salt and I put it right into that warm, dark liquid, and then I just lifted that whole thermos and took a long, warm sip. And it was so good. And I sat there for quite a while, sipping from the thermos, wondering how I'd ever get my sermon done. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the invitation to be salt. Thank you for the promise that we don't have to be the whole stew. God, be with us as we add flavor to life, as we help enhance the flavor that others bring to life. But even more than that, let us always be signs of your presence. Salt. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.